Today on The Grave Talks, Learning to Sense, a conversation with Sean Warren. What happens when, as an adult, you go through a traumatic ending of a relationship? Of course, you work at developing your abilities as a medium to communicate with the dead. At least, that's what Sean Warren did. His desire to discover his skills and use them to help others resulted in a new life and world for him to explore. Today, we discuss his exciting journey and where it's taken him today on The Grave Talks.
Well, Tony, on my team that I'm with, The New Reality, I'm the medium on that side of things. So I've had intuitiveness since I was really young. Not really knowing and understanding what it was because of my environment growing up. Definitely wasn't ideal for a child, but I had interest in paranormal as a young kid. I was going into the libraries and first, second grade looking for books that had ghosts in it. So I think I was already seeking paranormal without even really understanding why I was doing that. Mm-hmm. I always felt like there was things around me that we couldn't see, but I could feel physically. So that's kind of where it started. The New Reality, we just started doing this about a year ago, and my partner Cody, he's not with us today, but he actually had a full on piece of equipment in his garage turn on by itself without even being plugged in. So we both had a lot of paranormal activity growing up. We really have as we grew.
So tell me back, you know, when you were a kid, you had the interest, you know, like many of us who have the interest, we're looking for, you know, kids are looking for books on baseball and this and that, like you're looking for ghosts. I was doing, you know, the same thing. And it was
yeah, were you?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was doing. That, and then I also liked Choose Your Own Adventure. Those were kind of fun too. When I wasn't researching ghosts, I was Choose Your Own Adventure. And usually if I could find a ghostly one, that was even better. So you have that passion, that interest, and you're not, you know, quite sure why, but it's what you're drawn to. Tell me about the, you know, you have that passion, that interest, and you kind of have that sense that, you know, you're feeling things, but, you know, everything is new when you're a kid and you don't know, is this normal? Is this what everybody else is feeling? Or is it going to hit them next month as, you know, everybody kind of develops things differently? You know, tell me how that kind of developed for you in terms of realizing your sensibilities that you have.
I think I always saw myself and was always called weird. So I was a loner then. Like, I never really fit in. Mm-hmm. Again, knowing and having the intuitiveness, I never really fit in. So I really didn't have a lot of friends. I had a twin brother and he had more friends, and I was kind of just doing my own thing. And again, just feeling, I think I just knew because I was very empathic. I could feel people's emotions. I found myself, and again, this is not really paranormal. It was more like my mediumship side of thing. I guess that is paranormal, supernatural in some ways. I found myself really becoming a counselor as a young kid. I found myself really, a lot of like females were coming up to me that were abused. Unfortunately, that's happened often. And I did find myself just counseling and understanding what to say before I even knew what I was doing. I look back now and what I'm doing as a medium, obviously in the paranormal field, as well as doing readings for people, I understood myself doing those things already. So I think I was already connecting to spirit, if you will, as a medium, mm-hmm. even when I was young. So it wasn't even like investigating ghosts. It was already communicating with people that have already passed.
Yeah.
So I think I already started having an understanding with them.
Tell me about the connection there, you know, when you're talking to living people, and it's nothing about ghosts, it's talking to people about trauma, it's talking to people about what they're going through, and you just having empathic abilities to relate and feel and help them through that. There's a good correlation there, I think, between being able to sense that and be empathic with the living, and then also sense things on the other side. Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean,
to get specifics, that's difficult. Again, you got to be that connected.
And how, you know, how was it, you know, you said, you know, you'd have, you know, female friends and stuff coming up to you that had gone through abuse and things of that nature that wanted to talk, wanted to be friends, wanted someone that would listen. Tell me how that kind of made the connection then for you of understanding your abilities to connect with others and beyond.
So, Tony, it's taken quite a while to really understand that's what I was doing. even more recent is when I really actually embraced the ability. But back then, I just think I had things coming out of my mouth, and I never understood how I had answers or how and what to say to these four ladies and or girls, actually. But I just had this already awareness to know what to say to comfort them, to have them feel more comfortable about what they're in. I was already counseling, and it was all natural. I don't know where the information came from when I was that age. I think it was just, again, like you said, growing up, you don't know what's right or wrong or what's weird or what's not weird. So I knew that I just went with it. And I knew that I felt comfortable to share these things with these poor ladies that were going through the trauma. Mm-hmm. Very natural, very natural.
Tell me how your kind of journey continued as you began to, you know, understand this more. And when you started to kind of feel like, okay, there is something more here. What were some of your first experiences that kind of opened your eyes a little bit more to, oh, this is interesting, you know, the world of ghosts, paranormal, supernatural, whatever you want to call it?
So what's nice, I love this kind of story, because, you know, unfortunately through life, we all go through our own traumas and whatnot. I was married, had a child, and so unfortunately things didn't go well, and it caused a great trauma for me. You know, because I was all about having a family oriented deal. And again, it just back growing up, it was very toxic, and I wanted to have my own piece of the Brady Bunch, if you will.
Sure.
But realizing that, as that relationship went, it wasn't going to be a Brady Bunch thing. It wasn't even going to be a good relationship. So long story short with that, it ended up becoming toxic, and it didn't work out. And it was kind of an ugly situation as far as the ending of it, which caused me trauma, which caused me deep pain, which also opened me up to the ability, or made me more aware would be a better word, that I had this ability, an awareness that I wasn't sure of. From that point on, I felt like I had things that were helping direct me to where I am today. I remember, you know, not just trying to, knowing that at this point I have to find something, I have to look for something. When something is out there that I need to do, and I'm not sure what that is. So I went on this search, this spiritual search, if you will, and went to, I found myself, it was funny because one of my toxic friends, we both drank because we were both going through all this trauma. He's like, bro, you know, he was going through some marital issues, and really he went to this woman, and he came back to me, and how he explained it to me was, dude, you got to meet this woman. She does this hibbity dibbity shit. Well, what he was talking about was this woman was teaching meditation. So, and again, I grew up in a religious background, and in meditation, what's that? You know, sure. That's Buddhism. That's not Christian. That's not, you know what I mean? That's not in line with what I've been doing all my life. But it felt like there was something deep inside of me that said, you need to research this. You need to follow this. This is the path you're supposed to be on. I won't go into too many details, but I know when I went to the first session, the first thing we talked about was the marriage that didn't work out and how I was done wrong. And I got like a half hour into it. I said, ma'am, this isn't the reason I'm here. I truly feel like I was told to come here for a reason. She looks at me and she goes, I know why. And then she actually introduced me to meditation. Mm-hmm. That was the doorway. It was already there, but once I started meditating and started calming the mind, we created this meditation group, and we had 12 plus people in this team, this group that would come, you know, weekly. I was doing this with my, we'll get to the point where I meet my partner in crime with the new reality. I was actually, this meditation group, I was working with Cody's uncle with this group. And again, we worked together to get a meditation group once a week. Well, one day, myself and Cody's family, Tim was his uncle's name, and a bunch of their family members showed up at this lake. And I remember looking across the way and I saw Cody, which is my present partner. I remember seeing him and saying, asking Tim, who is the guy across the way? He goes, oh, that's my nephew, Cody. I said, And I knew right away, as soon as I saw him, that we had this strong connection and that I knew that we were going to be doing work together.
Mm-hmm.
That was like 14 years ago. We're still presently, we were doing the metaphysical thing. We did paranormal. This will kind of reach into more of how I got into the paranormal field. He came to the first our first meditation group. And it was kind of strange because my animal totem's a lion. He did his first meditation. He said when he closed his eyes, he saw a lion jump out of my chest, which is more for courage and strength. But so again, there was already this connection that was unexplainable. It was really a strange connection. A couple months went by. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Continue on.
A couple of months went by. And I don't know if you've ever heard of Meetup, but it's an app you get on your phone for different groups.
Yeah.
Well, he had decided he was going to look for paranormal on Meetup. Well, he finds a group, a Meetup group, and he ends up going on this investigation and gets all this activity. And he's like, oh, my God, like Sean's supposed to be doing this, too. He calls me that night and says, bro, you have to do this. And I knew as soon as he said it to me, I go, this is the direction I'm supposed to be going. I'm supposed to do paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say, I think it was like a week later, I went on my first investigation with Cody. And again, as soon as we started together, it was like we were meant to work together. We had all this activity. It was in a canyon where there was an Indian massacre by a bunch of miners. And the place was off the hook. We were already feeling what was in the canyon. We were making statements that were factual. We also, what we were feeling, it was causing, like, we were getting paranormal activity, like, as soon as we walked into the place. And the team we went with didn't know us. They're like, holy crap, what are these guys about? So it was very natural for us to get into the paranormal field.
And I want to go into that that experience and talk about that, but I want to take a step back first and talk a little bit more about how you kind of got into the meditation that you had mentioned earlier. What had you had any experience in meditation? Had it ever been something you were like, well, maybe I'd try that, but maybe it just didn't work out, or was it just something that was never attempted prior to that in your life?
I think meditation is a name, but I think I did a lot of deep prayer when I was young. I started speaking in tongues at probably 9, and that was more of a religious background. But again, when we worshiped in song, I could physically feel energy around me. And again, back then I didn't understand it, but I can look now and know that it was, I believe it to be angelic.
Mm-hmm.
But so I wasn't really meditating, but it was a meditative state that I was getting this information. But I never really thought about meditation and what it really meant. But I think when I was young, I was already in a sense going into a trance state and connecting with spirit, because again, I was already speaking in tongues and feeling energy around me.
So when you as an adult then were, you know, you got some guidance there from that woman that was trying to help you and kind of guide you along that path of how to get into meditation. How quickly did it happen for you? And what was the method as to which you walked away from that experience going, oh my God, like that was pretty amazing. And it wasn't just kind of like, okay, I kind of get it. That was restful, but it, I don't know. Because I think a lot of folks kind of jump into it that way. I'm one of those people. I think I've meditated once in my life and really felt like, wow, that was amazing. But I've never had that experience again. Not that I've dived into it that much, which I want to. But I'm curious as to when you're an adult, you have the experience that just you really felt the connection there, that this is something that really, you know, is beneficial to you.
That happened right away, wow. Which was, I found very ironic. When I went to the first meditation group,
mm-hmm.
It happened right away. I actually took a friend of mine that, you know, he was very metaphysical, but again, I was already just exploring.
Yeah.
He came with me when we went through this guided meditation. Of course, there was parts of the meditation that had you pick wherever your divine or your most calming place was. I found myself as it seemed as real as you and I talking, that I was in this place and it was beautiful and I knew exactly what direction I was looking. I was looking north, the water was flowing this way, and I could see and understand everything that was going on around me. Well, after the meditation group and it ended and my buddy and I left, I asked him when we got back to his house, I said, where did you go for your place of serenity? He explained the exact place I was to a T. Even looking and walking the same direction, it was a place that we both had been, and it was a place that we both went to at the same time during the meditation group. It was ridiculous.
That's an interesting concept there, because you're talking about something that, you know, two living people are having this kind of simultaneous, somewhat spiritual experience, in meditation. When you look at that, how do you process it? What is, and this is just an opinion, what is going on there where that can happen, where two people can share an experience like that without, you know, verbalizing, here's what we're going to think about, you know, prior?
So, again, going with what I understand now as a medium, mm-hmm. I understand that there's a collective energy, right? I believe that we're all feeding this collective energy. And I believe that, or what is it? The ether, if you will, outside of our realm, astral projection, whatever it is you want to call it. There's names for everything.
Sure.
But I think that we all are connecting. We were connecting at a certain level that I think that we're barely understanding and tapping into. I know and understand there is a collective energy, and a lot of people right now, it's ugly collective energy just because of the state of the planet. But again, that's a conscious effort to try to not feed that ugliness. But mm-hmm. I believe that's what happened there. I think that when we calm mind, we start energetically expanding, if you will. And then there's this opportunity for growth and connection at a deeper level with people.
So when you have a place like that, that you go to mentally, and other people are going to it at the same time, or even different places or different times, not different places, is, you know, that location, that place of serenity that your mind is giving you and bringing you to, is it something that I guess I would say exists beyond in your mind? You know, I think initially we all kind of think, well, this is what our mind has conjured up. But if other people are going to those same places and experiencing those same things, are, you know, is it in itself its own realm that we're collectively able to visit in our own ways?
So that realm or that the location I told you about was actually a real location.
Okay, so physically.
It was actually a real location, and we both went to that location. Energetically, I believe that, again, we're creators. And I think that, in a sense, we were energetically there. Mm-hmm. But I won't go too deep into it. But time is something that we measure here. It's not something that exists outside of this plane. So I believe that when it comes to our mind and us putting ourselves in a location, I believe that energetically we're there. And it doesn't matter what time it is or when it is, how it is.
When you're
a little deep, sorry.
No. I mean, that's what our show does. When you put yourself in those places, and this is a kind of another concept that I find interesting, because I've heard a lot of stories on this, especially on our other program, Real Ghost Stories Online, where people call and write in their stories. Over the last couple of years, I've had so many. Where it seems to be someone is, like you said, insert word here, astral projecting, you know, dreaming, meditating, whatever it may be. They're in a state where they're at another location that does exist, and they're alive, and they're there. And sometimes they come across other people that are there, but the other people don't necessarily see them. They're just kind of there. However, I've had many stories where the person is in the other setting as a meditation state, astral projection state, whatever. And sometimes the other figures, the other people that they see there kind of notice them and almost experience them as a ghost, or that's what, you know, the words they're going to put to their mouth as far as what they're experiencing. And then sometimes they'll come out of the state. I've even had some where people go back and visit those locations, you know, in the flesh, in waking hours. And there's been stories where sometimes the child that noticed, "Mommy, look at the ghost over there," goes, "Mommy, that was the ghost that was at the campfire the other night." I have a real intriguing story about that. And that's what I wonder, how many times when one is in that state, how do you think you may actually be visiting that location, not just in mind, but maybe there's a sense of your energy that actually goes to that location?
So again, with me being with the new reality, Cody and I, when we get a location, it just almost automatically happens. We try not to do it until we're on film. But a lot of times when Cody and myself will be talking about a location that we're going to be good, that we are going to investigate, and I'll be right here in my cabin in the mountains as the mountain man medium, but I'll sit here and all of a sudden I'll start seeing the location. Mm-hmm. I'll start seeing what is haunting that location and get into specifics on what I'm seeing from that individual. For an example, we were going to go to, actually it was a place that Cody went to just with his family. And again, normally we don't go to a place that's haunted unless we're investigating it. I remember him saying, "Yeah, we went to this place," and I started picking up on the year, what she looked like. And I said, "Stop right there." And I started explaining to him what I was seeing. And I got as far as even saying this woman was wearing a white dress in period. And I said, "I see stretch marks around her neck." And I'm like, "She hung herself." Mm-hmm. And his eye, you could hear him go like gasping for air on the phone. He's like, "That's accurate, bro. Like, she hung herself." And I said, "I feel there was a lot of depression. I feel like the man that she loved never came back. And it was all spot on." So I can put myself in a location and actually see the location before we go there. Sometimes it's not as clear. It just depends. Yeah. I don't know if it's where I'm at or how strong the connection is with the location.
And what I find very interesting in your story is kind of where this all kind of flipped on for you, and you kind of started to notice this or be more in touch with it, you know, because quite often sometimes we hear the stories, it's usually near death experiences where somebody, you know, car accident, this or that. And not to say that it couldn't be near death with a divorce, because, I've been there myself. I went through a lot of trauma myself, and, it's one of those things where, you know, that's what I'm curious about, is to how this all just kind of flipped on for you. And it was like, oh my God, like this, there's like new things or new things, or maybe not even new things, but things that have always been there, suddenly they're lit up, suddenly they're turned on and you're able to use them.
I had, I hate to say this, but I've had a couple NDEs. I had, and again, I didn't remember them. I didn't remember pulling out of my body. Mm-hmm. I remember just what I like to call divine intervention, like, because things were so traumatizing growing up and it just so ugly, mm-hmm. that if I was to have a situation where it's an opportunity to step out of this life, mm-hmm. I would go do it. Well, I had a near-death experience with a drowning. Mm-hmm. I remember I couldn't get to the top. I'm seeing the top of the water and I can't get to it. And all of a sudden I bring in water and I remember blacking out, but then all of a sudden I saw this golden hand grab me and pull me out. Mm-hmm. Again, I didn't, it's clear as day, but it wasn't like what you hear, the specific NDEs that you hear out there. I like to call it divine intervention. Like, no, you're not going anywhere. You got things to do, type of thing. Mm-hmm. Even recently, this was actually just before I really picked up on my readings. I had another, I like to call divine intervention with COVID. I woke up in the middle of the night, and it was bad. Myself and Cody, the new reality, you know, we both got really sick with COVID. And I got to a point where I woke up in the middle of the night, and I felt like my body was separating, or my soul was separating from my body. And I'm like, oh shit, is this it? Am I leaving?
Sure.
So I haven't shared the story with anybody because it was very emotional for me. Yeah. But I just started saying goodbye. I started saying goodbye to my daughter. I started saying goodbye to all the people that I cared for. And then I went to, because again, I work with angelics. And I started saying goodbye to those angelics that I felt I worked with for several years. And once I got to my buddy Michael, I got a knowing that he's like, well, you have a choice here. And it was like, it was almost as if he, and again, it was more of a knowing. It wasn't like I heard a voice, but it was like, hey, you've done a lot to help people already. And, you know, you've done great and you've helped a lot of people. But you have a choice here. You can do so much more for so much more people, or you can leave. Mm-hmm. I got really emotional because I could feel what some of the things that I've done in the past for people. And mm-hmm. really, my goal is to help people. That's why I do the mediumship.
Sure.
So once I actually said, okay, I'm gonna stay, I could energetically feel like these angels were helping me heal, and then we started recovering from that point.
Wow.
And clarity came. Like, that's when my readings became a different level. Like, yeah. And it didn't take much for me. Like, all I had to do was say, okay, guys, you know, I've been kind of doing readings off and on for the last 15 years, but really haven't embraced it and I haven't really surrendered to it. Mm-hmm. So I'm now, anybody wants a reading, please hit me up. And I've done in the last 3 weeks, 40 readings.
Wow.
And they've been ridiculous, spot on. And what? Again, after that, I called divine intervention. My clarity got much better.
Why do you think that is, that when one goes through, whether it be a trauma or an illness that pulls us, you know, very close to what could possibly be the end, that it opens that door up so much that suddenly it's like, no, it's like you've added, you know, 20 more Skittles to your day. and you're like, all right, I'm going. What is that? Is it just because we get that much closer and, you know, it's almost like resistance? You know, you kind of bounce back and forth, and I really swung that way further than ever before, and I got a better view than I ever had in the past, but I'm going to swing back over here, but I can recall that view now, and I'm more in touch with what is over that horizon than I saw in the past because I swung that much higher. You know, what is that that pulls us to have, or yourself to have that much more accurate and that much more stronger of abilities by going that close to the other side?
I call it divine timing. I don't think it's by chance that those things happen. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, I'll just call it a life contract, if you will. I think that it wasn't by chance that situation happened. Again, I know we have paths and we're here for a lesson. We're here to learn things. But I feel like there's certain things in our lives that now I'm at service versus my lesson, right? My lesson might be also being at service, but I think it was all meant to be. I think that, you know, we do have choices and we are creators. And I think that once that happened, it really opened my eyes to a deeper part of me. Mm-hmm. And again, I think I was also going through my own traumas at the time. And so I think it wasn't by chance that I got COVID and that I wasn't taking care of myself, and that somebody had to step in, or an energy had to step in and say, you know, you've done a lot for in this life, and you have a lot you can do in this life. It's really up to you to turn your life around. And again, I think that wasn't done on purpose. I think that was planned into my contractual obligation as a human being on this planet today.
That wraps up part one of our conversation with Sean Warren. In part two, how has Sean improved and honed his skills and psychic abilities over the years? When someone wants to communicate with the other side, specifically a intended loved one or friend, is it always that desired spirit that comes through? How does Sean deal with negative energies or entities when on an investigation? And how does Sean handle it when a disappointing or negative message is being delivered through him to a living person? Those questions and more in part two of our conversation with Sean Warren. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.